This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The Psalms are called the Songbook of the Bible, which means we have some of the lyrics that may have been sung 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. But what did the music sound like? That's a little more difficult to recreate, but there are those who have tried. A number of years ago, we did a series of programs on the archaeology of music.
Our guest is Christopher Maroney, the creative director of the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble. We're discussing a CD called Ancient Echoes, claims to recreate the music of ancient Israel as it was expressed 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus and the Dead Sea Scrolls.
The idea of recreating a music from the first century in Israel and Palestine was an idea that I have had for a long time. My wife and I, who we founded the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble, used to talk about this idea a lot over the years and wondered if it was something that Save could do or handle. And one of our biggest stumbling blocks had to do with the language itself. What did ancient Hebrew and ancient Aramaic sound like in the first century? We didn't quite know where we could find that information, find a teacher, find a way to get the right dialect for ancient Aramaic and Hebrew. So it was about 3 years ago that the project really took off when a friend of ours who was a Lutheran minister loaned us a book called Prayers of the Cosmos by Neil Douglas Klotz. And what Neil Douglas Klotz has done, he's taken the Aramaic words, the prayer and sayings of Jesus from the Syriac Peshitta and retranslated them back into English based on the Semitic roots, which gives a slightly different translation. What was most interesting to us was that Neil Douglas Klotz understood Aramaic, understood the root system, and could perhaps teach us. And so we went and studied with him, and then also studied with an Arabic phonetics teacher to give us a Middle Eastern dialect for the Aramaic, as well as the Hebrew. So we studied three languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Arabic, and the Arabic was to give us a Middle Eastern dialect for the Hebrew and the Aramaic.
This sounds like the kind of a challenge, I guess, that Mel Gibson may have duplicated with his film, which he shot in Hebrew and Aramaic.
Yeah, apparently he had an Aramaic scholar, like we did, but then he used someone from Syria to help with the actual dialect. The dialect that we were taught actually comes from the Babylonian region in the 10th century. It is believed to be a dialect that was originally used to recite the Quran, and what was appealing to us was that the Babylonian area was also, there was a huge Jewish population, and there was a strong connection between the Babylonian Jews and the Jerusalem Jews, having to do with when the Jews were exiled to Babylon and then came back in the 5th, 6th centuries B.C. There were ongoing ties between those two communities. We felt like that was one of our closest links to ancient Jerusalem, was ancient Babylon. The dialect worked out perfectly for us.
That sounds like you're getting the dialect and the accents down, but what about the music? I mean, today we use basic sheet music. How did you research that?
Yeah, that was the other huge aspect of it, where to find the music. And in my research, one name kept coming up over and over again, and that was Abraham Idelson. I had gotten every book I could that was in print by Idelson, but I wasn't getting the music that I needed. We were at a convention, a music convention here in San Antonio, and there was a representative from a Jewish music publisher in New York City, Transcontinental Publications. And I told him what we were doing, and he said that he had the complete set of Idelson's out-of-print volumes. Very graciously, he sent all of those to me. And in those volumes, there was one on the Babylonian Jews. And what Idelson did, he settled in Jerusalem in the early part of the 20th century, and he collected the songs from Jews from around the diaspora as they were coming back to settle in Jerusalem and Israel-Palestine. And what he found was a strong similarity in all of their songs. For instance, the Jews from Spain and the Jews from Iraq might have exactly the same melody to the same text. He's found this happening over and over and over again. And what that pointed to was an earlier musical tradition that dates back to the first century before the Jews were dispersed by the Romans after the destruction of the temple in 70 CE.
That sounds like a pretty strong indication that you're going back to the original source then.
It's as strong as one can find. You know, it's an oral tradition, and when you find that oral traditions match up like that in different areas around the world, particularly a lot of these groups of Jews really had not had contact with one another in thousands of years. So that is a strong indication that there was a tradition that goes back to the first century.
How different is that from the music of today? Does it sound strange?
No, not really, actually. What you would think of as traditional Hebrew-sounding music, I mean, this sounds funny, but even think of Fiddler on the Roof, you know, and it would be that kind of particular sound that is distinct, and when you hear it, you would say, yeah, that sounds like Jewish music to me. And when we were looking at these melodies that Idelson had collected, particularly from the Babylon region, they had that sound. They basically were using three different modes, which would correspond to ancient Greek modes, which were the Phrygian, Lydian, and Dorian. And the modes would be used for different texts according to what kind of emotion those texts were eliciting. And the way that the melodies were constructed is very unique and particular to the Jewish people. Idelson clearly found this, and he made all sorts of charts and comparisons between other cultures, and it was quite clear that this was distinctly Hebrew music that we were dealing with. And it does not sound that unusual to the modern ear.
Someone else you used as a source was Suzanne Hake Ventura, a French music theorist, and we've mentioned her on the Book in the Spade program a number of years ago because she had published a book about music in the Bible.
That was one of the really fascinating aspects of the project, learning about her work. What she did was look at the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible, and the Masoretes were Hebrew scholars from Tiberias, which is the capital of Galilee, and in the Middle Ages, they wrote down for posterity what are known as trope symbols or ta'amim symbols. Today they're known as cantillation marks. They are marks that appear above and below the Hebrew letters, and they're not the vowel points. They're specifically for cantillation. And when the Masoretes wrote these down in the Middle Ages, they knew that it had to do with music, but the exact meaning of what each symbol meant was lost. And what Suzanne Hake Ventura tried to do was decipher the meaning of these symbols to figure out what were the actual musical meanings behind these. The symbols themselves represent an ancient form of, well, you might call it music notation. It was chironomy, hand signals. This goes all the way back to ancient Egypt. If you look at some of the Egyptian murals where there are musicians, you will see sitting across from the musicians other people who have their hands in different positions. And what these chironomists were doing were being the sheet music, if you want to use that term, for the musicians. The hand signals indicated certain musical patterns, and the musician could read those hand signals when the chironomist would sit in front of them and move their hands in different positions. Eventually, markings were devised for these hand signals. You'll find this in several cultures. The Greeks had this, the Armenians have these symbols for the hand movements, and the Jews had these symbols. And actually, these symbols formed the basis of Gregorian notation, the neumes, and from Gregorian chant notation grew modern Western notation as we know it. So that these symbols in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, are some of the most ancient forms of musical notation. And most people don't realize the entire Hebrew Bible is musically notated. The entire Bible was intended to be sung or chanted.
Our guest on today's program is Christopher Moroni of the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble, discussing what amounts to a project in the archaeology of music. Now we want to let you listen to one of those songs, Ashir Shirim.
Ashir Shirim, which means I will sing songs to God. It comes from Idelson's Babylonian collection. It is a wedding song, although the whole song is a metaphor. The bride is Israel. The groom is God, and it's saying, I will sing songs at the coming of the Redeemer this frightened daughter, who is Israel, hurry to redeem her now. Elijah will come and she will be redeemed. So it's sort of talking about the coming of the Messiah, which will be initiated by Elijah appearing, and then Israel will be redeemed. We chose to have this song be sung by the women, as if it were sung by women at a wedding. At this period in history, men and women would not have been singing together at a wedding. So this particular song, the women are singing, and you will hear ululations, these high-pitched cries of joy that accompany almost every wedding still today in the Middle East. It's a really fun and exciting thing to do when we're performing this live, and to see the face on the audience when all the women are ululating.
Shir Shirim, a wedding song from Babylonian Jews transcribed 100 years ago, that our guest Christopher Moroni believes is a typical example of the music of biblical Israel 2,000 years ago. This song and more like it are available on a CD called Ancient Echoes that you can order through our Book in the Spade website. For that link and other resources on biblical archaeology, we invite you to go to our website at radioscribe.com. You can also contact us by sending email to scribe@broadcast.net. The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. Once again, our website is radioscribe.com. Thanks for tuning in. We invite you back next time for another Backgrounder on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.